Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Old School Primitive Baptist with Elder Don Martin, Sr. Stay tuned for another gospel message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Well, brother and I, sisters, I covet your prayers on behalf of my attempts to stand before you this morning, or this afternoon. Not quite this afternoon, getting close. But I'm thankful again that God has given Brother Michael and I the blessed privilege and safety to travel up here at Empire Church and be with you again, see all of you, see Brother Dale, who's traveled probably at least a couple hours from America, to be with us here this morning as well. And you know, I think about the traveling and the distance and time to come in a little humble meeting like this, Brother Clark, and why? What is it? What is it that would drive a man's desire, will, and want to do this today? On a Saturday, a beautiful sunny day, a crisp, cold day, as a matter of fact, in southern Georgia, to drive a couple hours and even further and longer, to be with a small little flock of folks and sing the songs of God's grace and praise as we did. I thought the singing this morning was exceptionally blessed of God. It was worshipful to me. It provoked in me a desire to say, "Oh dear Jesus, thank you for just having mercy upon me and giving me the opportunity one more time to listen to the voices of the children of God that lift them up before thee in adoration and praise." And I was greatly blessed by that. But you know, I've thought about the last day or so, and it's been on my mind, as Brother Clark says it from time to time, as he gets up, he'll say, "Something's been on my mind." Well, when something gets on your mind, you can't get rid of it unless you just declare it. And something that's been on my mind recently, and it keeps coming back, is the promises of God. The promises of God. Do you know that if you stop and think about the promises of God, upon that subject hangs all of our hope? We say we're saved by hope. And we have a blessed hope, but it's all hanging upon the promises of God. If His promises are not so, and He does not fulfill what He says He shall do, then our hope is in vain, Brother Dale. And our salvation is in vain, and we have a real reason to wonder if it be so. But because of His promises being steadfast and sure, our hope is as well assured to be valid, because it is that which is brought about by the faith of Jesus Christ, which is a gift of God and is prompted and brought about by the Spirit of God Almighty. So therefore, the promises of God, I look upon them as I have recalled Scripture. I recall the promises of God that He told the children of Israel, that this is the laws, commandments, statutes, ordinances, and testimony that I have set forth before you. And if you refuse to do what I've set forth, then you're going to have to pay the penalty. If you rebel against that which I've said before you, you're going to pay the price. Chastening is coming. And they were taken by the Babylonian nation and the group of the Assyrians on another occasion. They were led captive and kept prisoner and made slaves by these folks who now we know as those that are of the Arab world have taken Israel captive and used them as slaves. But in all of that, and God promised that there was going to be a price for their rebellion, he said, I'm going to send you a deliverer. He promised it, brother. I'm going to send you a deliverer. And it took that man Moses, that which was laid in the bulrushes there in the river, that was found by the daughter of Pharaoh, that was taken into Pharaoh's kingdom and nourished along into a man of stature and become the prince of the kingdom of Pharaoh. And then, as you know, the record of the message of the, what I call the gospel of the Old Testament, and it is the good news to us. We look back on it now. It's for our examples and understanding and the record of God's dealing with God's people. How that he said that I'm going to take and send a deliverer. And it was Moses, a man who had left the kingdom of Pharaoh's large kingdom and went out for 40 years tending sheep. And after that 40-year period, God had came and spoke to him in a bush that was burning but never was annihilated in the burning of that bush. And he spoke to him and said, take off your shoes, you're in holy ground. And he took his shoes off, and God Almighty spoke to him and said, I want you to go, and I want you to deliver my people. Oh, I can't go, I can't do this. I said, you're going to go, I'm going to send you a helper as well. I'm going to send Aaron with you down there. Let me tell you something. That's just one of the hundreds and hundreds of promises throughout the Old Covenant, Old Testament, that God has got set forth in the record of the Holy Writ that he said he was going to complete and have done. I'm going to send a deliverer to deliver my people. He went down there and he confronted Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, the Bible says, in more than the 17 places that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God Almighty will harden the heart of anyone of any of the human race as it pleases him to this day, if it so be that they are not able to perceive the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it pleases him to do so. But at the same time, he's promised that there'll be a remnant according to the election of grace, that he will not harden their heart, but that he will soften their heart and give them a fleshy, not fleshly, but a fleshy heart, Paul says, that it may be manipulated by the Spirit of God to be able to endorse and believe the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ has come to seek and save sinners. And when one is manipulated by the Spirit of Almighty God to receive that glorious message and endorse it into the heart, mind, and soul, it is an experience that is never to be undone. It is of the new birth that comes about by the spiritual work of God's almighty sovereign work of grace. And it is never to be undone. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. Salvation is sure of God's elect because God promised it. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. Has he done it? Yes, he's done it. Is he doing it? Yes, he's doing it. And he's going to do it until the last one be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son and to the bride church of Jesus Christ. He's doing it to that very time. And then he shall call all things to an end. And he shall come with vengeance upon those of the non-elect, those of the goats, those of the tares. And he shall come with deliverance again. Oh, the great deliverer, the deliverer of all deliverers, Jesus Christ himself is going to come. And he's going to deliver from this world of sin and woe and wickedness here below his remnant church. And there's going to be a bride without spot or wrinkle, Brother Dale. Or it's a beautiful bride he's preparing. It'll be dressed in the white raiment of the robe, indicating and manifesting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God himself, and his precious blood. Oh, where else can it be that the precious crimson red blood of Christ can cleanse things so white as snow? In the mystery of the Word of the Living God, that he can take his blood and cleanse us as white as snow, as if sin had never tainted us in any way at all in time. And he removes it and takes our sin and casts it behind him, and he takes it and casts it to the sea, a forgiveness never to be brought to our account ever again. Oh, listen, in my early experience, I was told about, there's going to be that time, when there's going to be like this big movie screen here, and your life is going to be reflected back and all the things that you did, and how that you're going to stand there and give account. How can I give account? When you realize and you are taught that there is the sovereign work of God in Jesus Christ to seek and save sinners and redeem them, and once and for all paid that ultimate price for their sin on the cross of Calvary, and that it removes every bit of it, it eradicates every judgment according to it, and everything else that has to do with it, it's gone. We are reckoned as righteous before God Almighty. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel. And woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that is the only gospel that is of any account. That's the only message that can cause the wayward little sinner to find any kind of peace and hope and joy. That's the only good news that can bring the wayward one here in this time realm here below any peace and happiness. Well, we sing about it in the songs. That's what's so wonderful about the old Lord's hymn book and the Gatsby and the Gobel and the old hymn book. Those writers were not all caught up in the charisma of this world and all of the busybodiness that goes on with it, all the recreation that they were caught up with. They were men of old that wasn't taken and used up with the time of watching television and doing this. They were men that meditated in this book, and they read it. They didn't have a Strong's Concordance. They didn't have a Vine's Dictionary. They didn't have anything, any helps like that. They read this Word of God, and as God illuminated the truth of it to their mind and gave them the ability and the gifts of recall, they wrote as they were given by inspiration the things such as some of the great writers of the times past, of the old past, that are a blessing to us even today, of the glorious grace and salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, his promises are sure and steadfast. And all that he said he would do, he has done. Yes, that one that Mike talked about, that even when he spoke, the winds had ceased to blow and the sea became calm. Oh, and as they said, brother, oh, what manner of man is this that even the winds obey his voice? I'll tell you what manner of man he is. He's that ultimate deliverer I was telling you about. He is Moses was just a type of. He is the one that came to demonstrate the ultimate Savior for those who needed salvation's work of grace, and that's to us even today in the New Covenant and New Testament. Yes, the Bible says, Paul, he writes in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to them which believe. Now, verse 17 is a verse that I personally have read over many times and never really took on the perception of really how it works with verse 16. For it says in verse 17, for in verse 16, he said, I'm not only ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, which the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. But in verse 17, it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God proclaimed. For therein. Any message that says it is a gospel and it excludes the righteousness of God is a false gospel. For the true gospel is a gospel that expresses and is that which declares the righteousness of God, and that is only through and by the sacrificial, vicarious work of Jesus Christ himself on the cross of Calvary to shed his holy blood and save sinners through that redemptive work of his holy blood being offered in our behalf. And he did it once and for all. He did it once, and he did it for all of the elect of God, chosen, ordained, appointed, and called heirs of grace down through time. He did it one time and paid for every one of them sin. And I can stand before God Almighty upon the promise that Jesus said, as my high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father, even right as I speak, according to the Holy Scripture, making intercession for me, and I can speak and say, I can stand before God one day, and in his presence stand there all because of my intercessor and my mediator, my propitiation, Jesus Christ. So to him be the glory, to him be the praise, to him be the honor, for he is due all of our praise, devotion, and honor. I love him. I love him, dear beloved brothers and sisters. I do not say that boastfully. I say that because of this, because he first loved me. Brother, if he had not a first loved me, if he had not a first loved you, you could not love him today. I can assure you that. That's a promise of God. And the promise is that we love him because he first loved us. And he gave himself for us as a promise of God. And it's a promise of God that all that believeth on him shall never perish but have what? Everlasting life. That's a promise. God is not wavering with his promises. God is sure and steadfast with all of his promises. His promises, that is, like I said, upon the premise of promise is what hangs my hope. And it's based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but fully lean on Jesus' name. And as a little lamb of God that often wanders around, as a songwriter put it, prone to wander and leave the Lord I love, he comes after me as a chastening, loving shepherd and picks me up and puts me to his sweet breast and embraces me and says, come, child, that is not the path you need to travel. Come, I'm going to make you a testimony of my power, love, and grace and mercy. For he says, when the Holy Ghost, he promised those in Acts chapter 1, shall come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an opportunity to try to be a witness. You know how the evangelicals are working today. You need to learn how to witness. That's the problem. Yeah, we ain't seen an influx of folks in the church meeting house because you ain't learning how to witness. How are you going to learn how to witness? You got to go to some of these seminars, and you got to start talking about things about the person's house when you go visit them. You got to get a conversation moving around, and you got to talk about things that they can relate to, and then you kind of sneak in there and give them a little bit about, well, what about your position before God spiritually? What if you was to die? Are you going to go to heaven? Is heaven going to be your home? Well, a lot of folks say, well, I hope so. Well, I want it to be. Well, you can be sure today. All you're going to do is say this prayer with me. But let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be a seminar, means and ways that a person is going to learn how to be a witness. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and Christ abides within you, you shall be. You can't help but be, brother. You can't help but be a witness of Jesus Christ. When somebody says something that's offensive to your Jesus, it becomes offensive to you, and you can't stand it. You're a different person. You're a new man. The Bible says any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're not a new creature, you need to make your corner election sure. You need to examine yourself and see where you're at. New creatures are those that are made up in the remnant of God. New creatures are those that are in the bride of Christ. New creatures are those that are going to be caught up and be taken as the angels of God are sent to the four winds of the earth to gather his elect flock together. They're new creatures that are going to be transformed. And then we're going to be ultimately that which experienced salvation's total completeness. You see, we are being saved. Okay? We are saved in the purpose and in the mind of the Almighty in His sovereign design. But we are being saved daily. He is saving us from the woes of sin and the travail of things that we could be caught up in if it were not for the regenerating power of God Almighty within inside us and living in us, causing us to will to do this good pleasure. Yes, we are being saved daily. But when we get these bodies shed and we put on immortality, salvation then, Brother Clark, is going to be ultimately complete. And that is when the salvation of body and soul is going to be brought in the presence of God Almighty in an incorruptible state and an immortal state to be with Him forever and eternity in glory to worship His and adore His glorious name forever and ever and ever. I'm going to quit there. But woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only message I know. That's the only message that's ever made a difference in this poor sinner's life. That's the only message that still gives me that blessed assurance that Christ has sought me out and caused me to be one who desires to walk after Him, to follow Him. Because in my heart and in my soul, I have this longing from He that says, come, follow me. For my sheep hear my voice, and they shall follow me. Folks, don't try to follow Jesus. If you're here today and you're trying to follow Jesus, then quit it! If you're here today and you're trying to perform good deeds and obedience and obligations to satisfy Christ, stop it! Because if Christ is not working in you the will to do this good pleasure, and that He has begun that good work, is not going to complete it, then His promise is no good for you. But I'm here to tell you today that He is working in you, causing you to both will and to do this good pleasure. And He that has begun a good work in you is completing it, performing it, and accomplishing it to the day that He comes again. And we have that blessed assurance that that promise is going to be accomplished. And that's my blessed hope and my blessed earnest, is where my faith find security at in the promises of God. For He who has called you shall be faithful to also do it. And for His promises stand sure. They're immutable, unchangeable, and they shall do all that He has promised to do. And we can rest in that. Thanks be unto Jesus. I appreciate your kind attention.